We've had a few days to analyze the horrible shooting in Las Vegas. There are calls for gun control, of course. We're told there haven't been more than three or four crimes committed with automatic weapons since 1934. We're told machine guns are illegal, but they're not illegal. I've gone to gun shows as a reporter over the years, and people say, you can get an automatic weapon if you want. You just have to pass all these background checks. And then the FBI can come and check on you whenever they want, and so forth. The feds can check on you. Well, it's either illegal or it's not illegal. Now we see this shooter buying bump stocks, which means you can convert semi-automatic weapons to automatic weapons. And if you only pay $50 for a bump stock or whatever it is, then what's the deal with saying that machine guns are illegal? And then we have to ask ourselves whether we have laws, and if those laws existing will make a difference. We have strict gun laws in Chicago. We have massive shootings every weekend in Chicago. They had very strict gun laws in Paris. Didn't stop a concert from being sprayed by a terrorist in Paris. In England in the 19th century, there were laws against pickpockets. You could be hanged for pickpocketing. And they would hang the pickpockets in the public square. You'd go home from the hanging without your wallet. So if you're going to have any kind of law, you better enforce them and have long sentences and be very tough, or the laws don't make any difference. Ask yourself, why are there more shootings in Chicago than in New York City? Could it be they're tougher on gun law violators in New York City, like the former receiver for the New York Giants, Plexico Burress, who fired off a gun in a disco? He went to jail for 3 years for that. So we have to interpret and enforce the laws differently. Then we have to ask ourselves, what do we do about this? The guy took suitcases or bags full of ammunition in for days and days into the hotel room, the suite. Most people take their bags in once. They get a bellhop, there's a cart. I'm just suggesting maybe we have a security rule where if you take multiple bags over multiple days, set it at 5 bags on different days, whatever the case, that security checks your bags. I flew one way to San Francisco a month after 9/11, and they checked my suitcases like 4 times. They were checking going through my underwear and my big suitcases in the middle of the airport, and that's fine. I understood that. I had a baseball cap, looked a little bit disheveled. Actually, the terrorists had baseball caps. Security, but that seems like a decent rule with cameras. You know, do what we can do. You're never going to stop somebody who's truly evil and twisted from doing something very evil. But, you know, I think the conversation is good. You can comment on this video. That's all good. But I would start with security of the hotel. And then bump stocks, maybe we shouldn't buy those. Those are my 2 cents.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating 4 blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
I feel like I'm doing a duet here, getting Dean Martin with Goldie Hawn back on the old Dean Martin Variety Show. No. Michelle Heitzinger is here.
I don't have blonde hair, though.
No, but he did duets with brunettes, I'm sure. I couldn't think of one. Susan G. Komen Foundation, October Breast Cancer Awareness Month, big events coming up. And you had a big announcement, too, right, with some recent...
We do. Last Tuesday, Susan G. Komen, our national organization that we... some of the fundraising that we do at the local level goes into that national research grant fund. So 75% of what we raise here has to stay here and go into programming for primarily underserved populations. So uninsured, low resource, undocumented women, helping them access breast care. That 25% that we send to Komen headquarters goes directly into this research fund. Again, the best part of working for this organization is that no money that we raise at the affiliate level pays headquarters salaries. They have other philanthropy and fundraising that covers who gets paid down in Dallas.
So the part that doesn't stay here goes to research, which is crucial.
Yes. And so Tuesday they announced their $30 million grant research portfolio.
From where?
Out of Dallas.
Oh, okay.
And 2 grants are in the state of Wisconsin.
Oh.
We're so excited. We've got one, a fairly large grant, $460,000 at Medical College of Wisconsin, and then one here at UW, $180,000. And the gentleman is, the researcher is looking at triple negative breast cancer. It's one of the deadliest forms of breast cancer, and there is no known chemotherapy for it. So a great article or a piece was just done this last week, too, with one of our survivors. She works at CUNA Mutual. Michelle Zwetler is her name, was on and talking about, as a six-year survivor now of triple negative breast cancer, this is huge news for her as someone who waits for a known therapy that might treat it. Her breast cancer is at bay right now, but she lives with the fear of recurrence because it is so high in that type of breast cancer, that type of diagnosis.
And that's very ominous, those different categories you're talking about, because you think generally, how are we doing with survival rate and survival chances compared to 20 years ago?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because it's down about 38% from before there was a Susan G. Komen. So since 1989, when that was started, Komen started in 82 and started seeing decreases in about 89. Again, more women were getting screened. We were finding more breast cancers, but it was because more people were going and getting screened and finding it. If it's there, we want to catch it early when it's got better chances of being treated. But again, Mitch, I've been on your show before, and breast cancer isn't one cancer. The researchers at Carbone call it a family of cancers. There's so many different types of diagnosed breast cancer. So it can be estrogen-fed. It can be not hormone-fed. It can be genetic. It can be non-genetic. And in the case of this triple negative, it doesn't fit any of the categories. And so the researchers were seeing it more and more in African American women, and now it's caught up in the white population as well, the Caucasian population. So, it's not just a black woman's type of diagnosis, but the problem is it's a very aggressive cancer, and if you're going to have it, we want to catch it early and try to get to what is the causes and the cures.
You know, there are all kinds of you could call them fringe theories about health and wellness and natural health specialists who go against traditional medicine. But I heard somebody once at one of those seminars who's big into vitamins and stuff. He said, breast cancer, Western diet disease, the man thought. Do we have any idea of cause at this point?
I mean, we
that
do.
Could be a crackpot theory, but the point of it is people want to know there's a cause,
mm-hmm.
don't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, the UW has been part of a multi-year, multi-state environmental research grant. Yeah. And yes, it is in the environment. And there's a lot of things in our environment that trigger cancers
in people. Well,
the environment
can be pollution and toxins.
Well,
and
even things like fragrance. You know, fragrance mimics estrogen and estrogenic properties. And not to get, because I'm not very scientific.
What
but
about
the,
nachos
the little bit that
with
I know.
Cheese and... You know,
well, anything
Sundays,
processed. I mean, think of
yeah.
things processed. That there's also something called the lifetime burden. The body can break down just so many chemicals for so long, and then it can't anymore. But again, there will always be those of us that are wired genetically with whatever you came to the party with, whatever I came to the party with. You know, people can be resistant, and then people just aren't. And again, you know, this brilliant researcher that we have here at the UW, Dr. Michael Gould, who studied the effects of radiation on women in Hiroshima, Japan, and found clearly, you know, we have all these women that have died, continue to die from the radiation effects from all those three generations ago now?
Yeah, yeah.
And but there's a group that have been resistant, and he wants to know why. And can we replicate it? Why did they not feel, or why did they not get the same effects that that these other women did? So again,
Japan is number one lifespan in the world, right? I mean, Japan, longest lifespan.
But again, when you look at the statistics of body mass index over the years, they're catching up with our little Western world
They're starting to eat the bad American food.
Yep. And, you know, we have one of the Latino doctors here, Latina doctors here on campus, and talked about immigrant syndrome. And, you know, you come here from other countries, and just because you can eat out, you've now achieved the dream. Even if it's the dollar menu at McDonald's, they feel like that's it. We've made it. If they would just eat the good food that they ate where they came from.
The sardines and the seaweed and the stuff they've been eating.
You know, the beans and rice that they grew and the things that, and you know, that kind of stuff too. But no, we get here and it's this processed food world that we live in, and that
I wouldn't know about that.
But my party this Friday is a fundraiser. And well,
they're probably going to have all kinds of good processed food at that.
You know, we actually have Food Fight Restaurant Group is doing three stations there. So we've got Tex Tubbs Tacos. We've got Everly, which is the cool, funky restaurant down on Monroe Street. They're going to have tastings there. And then Market Street Diner. And they're doing a little bit of savory and a little bit of sweet stuff there. So we're going to have some good stuff there.
Well, this is Smart Motors.
This is at Smart Motors, and it's a fundraising event that we have.
Time on that again?
7 to 10.
Are they going to have any seaweed there
Friday?
You know, we don't have that at this
seaweed
event,
doesn't go over big at catered events. And the carrots and the cauliflower go last.
See, and I love seaweed. I would
you
have
like
that.
Seaweed. That's good for you, I'm told.
Yes, and we also have this group of bigwigs this year. This is something new for us. We have a group of community members, nine of them. They all agreed to be one of our bigwigs. They have to wear a crazy pink wig while they're at work. Don't have Mayor Paul this year. I didn't approach him, but maybe we'll get him next year.
Yeah, well, and he would have snarled too much.
We'll see, and they all have to raise $5,000. And in fact, right now, they all are over. I believe almost all of them are over their $5,000 goal.
Great.
And then at this party on Friday night, we're going to crown the biggest wig. So the one that has raised the most money will get the special plastic crown.
And if somebody goes over to find a pink TV about the Cubs playing, then you just push them in the bag, right? That's what's going on there. No, but you've been working on this for years, and you've come so far.
Yes.
I know you're so passionate about this. So to the extent that you would give advice to women about how to avoid danger signs or symptoms? I mean, you're saying processed things?
Well, you
avoid?
Know, well, not only that, but you can try to live the healthiest life possible
and still get it.
And still get something. It's back to the what you were wired with, what I was wired with, you know, from the generations on down. But again, it's trying to exercise as much as you can. Try to live as healthy of a lifestyle as you can, knowing unless you're growing your own food and you're non-fertile or you know what fertilizers you're putting on there kind of environment and preparing it in such a way that you're not robbing all of the vitamins and nutrients out of things and storing it and all of that stuff. You know, sometimes it's the luck of the draw, too. But to the extent
how big a factor would be genetics in this?
You know, not as big as you'd think. It's, and again, throwing out more statistics and numbers, only 1 in 20 women diagnosed has a genetic connection to the disease. The other 19, it's a random hit. And again, it's 1 in 8 women. And Julia Louis-Dreyfus was just diagnosed. She was Elaine on Seinfeld. And the first sentence out of her mouth was, 1 in 8 women will get this, and I'm the one. So, you know, and I always say, people that know it's in their family, like me, my mother died of breast cancer, I know I have to be looking over my shoulder. Back to your question of what do you want to do? It's educate yourself. 6 of the 8 warning signs of breast cancer are visual. It can be a lump, but it can be a few other things. It can be a warmth, a reddening of the breast, darkening of the breast, a pulling in of the nipple, an itchy, scaly, sore rash on your nipple, a nipple discharge, and you're not lactating, and a pain in one spot that doesn't go away. You know, it used to be, if it hurts, it's not cancer. That's not true. So, and those don't it doesn't mean it's cancer, but it means it's not normal, and you're supposed to
err
seek
on
help
the side
for
of caution,
it.
The
exactly. And then the other big disservice out there is, you know, we can tell women to get a mammogram at 40. You can tell women to get to your doctor. What if you're one of those women who doesn't have a medical home? You don't have a doctor to call on the other end of the line, and you're worried about something. That's when you call me. You call our office, and we're going to get you hooked up with the Komen Treatment Access Fund. You're going to go see a regular doctor.
That is very comforting to know. You have the website?
Yep. It's, KomenWisconsin.org. O-R-G, just Komen, K-O-M. K-O-M, as in Mary, yeah. E-N, as in Nancy, Komen, Wisconsin, you got to spell out Wisconsin,
right.
.org.
Yeah.
And that will get you connected to us. Again, not everybody has internet. So, you know, I like to say call our Komen, Wisconsin office.
Go ahead, give the number.
It's 608-836-1083. Again, 836-1083. And I'm going to get you connected in this, not only this town, but in this state with getting help and services, especially if you're worried about
something. Or email
me
and I'll get you the information at mhank61@gmail.com. I'll just go ahead and give the email. mhank61@gmail.com. 61, the birth date. You wouldn't know it. It's not the next size. Anyway, But you are wonderful, and you look very healthy as well.
Oh, I try. But again, I'm a first-generation survivor. I said, I look over my shoulder all the time. There's nothing really more I can do at this point except be aware of changes. And I get my mammogram every year.
You're on the front lines fighting the fight. Michelle Heitzinger, we thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for the airtime. Hello
to your husband,
who
was trying to diagnose me in a different setting once. I think I'm on to something. Anyway, thank you, and we'll talk about
it. Oh, thanks for covering this, Mitch. It's important.
My pleasure. Listen to this podcast forever on MadisonTalks.com, and we'll talk about sexual assault on campus coming up next on The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkas.
For nearly two decades, Troy Research has been measuring attitudes and opinions for our clients worldwide. Success is determined by your customers. What do they know that you don't? Ask them. For Sony Motion Pictures, the Green Bay Packers, the Wisconsin Historical Society, Troy Research has asked questions that made decision makers wiser and more successful. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884. Or email jlittle@troyresearch.com. Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rayl.
Most realtors just came in and talked with you and then put an ad in the paper. Tim came in and said, here's what we're going to do. You had a plan, and it was spectacular. It really worked well, and I couldn't have been happier.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rayl of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
I would recommend Tim Rayl to anyone who had a house for sale in the Dane County area.
Tim Rayl, 698-7653.
Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Now we turn to sexual assault on campus and the controversy over due process and whether the Obama administration had lowered the bar too much in terms of standards for protecting the innocent or the accused, and whether there were too few attempts to give the accused a chance to defend themselves. And here we have a change in the Trump administration to try to restore due process to the accused in these cases. It's a very sensitive, very touchy topic. Stuart Taylor, who's been a longtime legal journalist, joins us now. Hello, Mr. Taylor.
Nice to be with you.
Good to have you on the show. It is touchy, isn't it? And I know there's people, you know, getting all emotional about it, but it is a foundation of American principle to maintain the idea that you're innocent until proven guilty. We certainly have the high-profile case and the Duke LaCrosse case, but we also have horrific cases like the Minnesota case involving, 9 or 10 men, and the woman who felt she was treated poorly. So what is the status of where we are right now?
Well, of course, as the Minnesota case indicates, there is a sexual violence problem on some campuses, maybe lots of campuses. There's no doubt about that. But what the Obama administration did with the the active support of a lot of the universities, they forced them to do it, but a lot of them didn't need to be forced, was completely demolish the due process rights, you know, the ability of accused students to defend themselves. And this was done on the theory that almost all accused students are guilty, which is false, been proven false many times. We have 40 or some cases in our book of accused students who appear to have been innocent, and there's hundreds more around the country. And so Betsy DeVos of the Trump administration, I'm no supporter of the Trump administration, but what Betsy DeVos has done to try and restore due process and to revoke the Obama administration decrees that that have helped destroy due process is to be applauded, I think. And the attacks on her by Democratic politicians and activists and others are based on highly misleading mischaracterizations of what she's said, what she's done, and are not to be trusted.
Well, how bad did it get? I mean, did someone say, okay, he assaulted me or he raped me, and the person would say, I did not, and so what would happen?
Well, a lot of cases, the woman, there's no dispute about the facts. A lot of these cases, the woman says, we had sex and I was drunk. The guy was drunk, too. And then the college says, well, if you were drunk, why, then it was rape. And they'll kick the guy out as a rapist based on that alone. In other words, it doesn't have to be a real rape.
In other words, there could have been the accused would maintain it was a consensual interaction.
That's right. And under the criminal law, it was clearly a consensual interaction unless the woman was passed out or completely.
Which we've seen that. We've seen that in the one case, right? Was the guy out in the West who they gave him a minor sentence and he raped the woman when she was passed out, right? I mean.
Well, I'm not sure what case.
Well, I'll look it up. It was either Southern Cal or some place out there.
Yeah, there have been, but there have also been a lot of just plain false claims. For example, we lead our book with a case from Amherst College, an elite college in the Northeast, in which the woman accused the guy of forcibly forcing her to perform oral sex on him. In fact, the text messages that she sent before and after her interaction with this guy demonstrate conclusively that she was the aggressor, and that if anything, she assaulted him, or at least she seduced him. And in spite of evidence, clear evidence to that effect, Amherst kicked him out.
Was that evidence
as a sexual aggressor, as a sexual sex offender, and the woman? She lied. It was just a flat-out lie.
So the accused in that case was not permitted to bring that evidence then into even a hearing?
Well, the hearing was grossly unfair. It was, as is typical, it was three feminist ideologues sitting in judgment on this guy. They didn't do any research. The woman gave false testimony, and they knew it was false, and they disregarded all that.
Well, you can be a feminist ideologue and believe in the Constitution, believe in due process. I mean,
yes, but
look at Alan Dershowitz.
Let me correct myself, because I like a lot of feminists. I'd call the people on this particular panel at Amherst, I'd call them gender warriors, not real feminists.
Well, zealots.
But in any event, they were presuming guilt even in the face of strong evidence of innocence.
And
there are a lot of cases like that.
That should scare anyone, that kind of behavior by authorities.
And that sort of thing was due in large part to the Obama administration issuing a series of decrees out of the blue for political reasons in 2011. This is more than 2 years after they took office, and suddenly they issue a bunch of decrees to fire up their political base for the 2012 election as the apparent reason, such as they virtually banned cross-examination of accusers, and cross-examination has been hailed by the Supreme Court as the most effective truth-finding tool known to the law.
How significant is the fact that Secretary DeVos is a woman doing this? I mean, because I can't imagine a white man doing this. I mean, it just wouldn't fly at all. I'm not sure it's flying now politically, but, you know, she's a woman.
Unfortunately, you know, when a white male does anything in this country, the media instantly distrusts him because he's a white male.
Well,
unless he's, and therefore it helps in terms of the PR that DeVos is a woman. But a lot of the best civil libertarians and journalists who are opposing what's been done on the campuses by the Obama administration and others, a lot of them are women. Emily Yaffe, one of the best journalists in this area, is a woman. Kathy Young is a woman. Nadine Strossen, former ACLU president, is a woman.
Well, yeah.
You don't want to railroad males either.
I mean, a person of conscience who's a legal scholar or lawyer, or in your case, a legal journalist, one does not want to see anyone railroaded, regardless of gender.
Right, and what's astonishing about what's been happening in the last few years is that dozens, and I would guess probably hundreds, it's impossible to know because a lot of these proceedings are secret, and possibly hundreds of innocent young men are being railroaded by kangaroo courts using procedures that are rigged to find them guilty no matter what the evidence is. And that was promoted by the Obama administration, and it's, to a large extent, been promoted by a lot of the news media, which is why most people haven't heard anything about it much.
Well, it's a very scary thing. The Duke lacrosse case was a high-profile case, and that was embarrassing. Wasn't there something in Virginia, too?
Yeah, I wrote with my co-author, Casey Johnson, on the current book also, and I wrote a book 10 years ago on the Duke lacrosse case, which was a, you know, that involved a rogue district attorney, the typical
right.
Is not.
He wanted
young. But in that case, the camp, you know, the college, the professors and the administration presumed the guilt of these innocent young men, even after the evidence of their innocence was really quite clear. The University of Virginia, another case where the woman claimed she was gang raped at a fraternity. Rolling Stone made a sensational story out of it. It was highly implausible. Over time, it was proven conclusively to be false, to be a figment of her imagination. She was trying to make an impression on a guy by doing this. And but the media behaved largely as though it were all true. The administration of the UVA, as it was proven false. You know, they instantly rushed to judgment against the fraternity, treated them like criminals, and as the proof of their innocence emerged, the university stayed the course.
Stayed the course. Well, you know, you have cultural currents crossing each other in these areas. You know, I've covered as a reporter years ago the Take Back the Night marches against sexual assault and rape, and women would march taking off their blouses, and then they have a reception afterwards, and male reporters weren't allowed to go in there. I mean, I've covered. But, I mean, you'd talk to these grandparents, and they would blame their grandchildren because of some skirt they wore. I mean, we have some pretty rotten attitudes and antiquated attitudes in this country.
Well, you know, that's a common complaint of the gender warriors, but I have not come across...
No, that's a legitimate complaint. I mean, you know, if you've got family members...
A single case within the last 10 years where any woman rape complainant was attacked for having...
Well, I'm glad to see the legal profession has caught up with that, because I'm talking about grandmothers in the family. Grandparents.
Yeah, I think that was, well, maybe that still happens with grandmothers in the family, but on the level of, you know, the criminal process and the campus
disciplinary process,
it's not a factor.
Shouldn't be permissible or admissible, yeah. Well, listen, and I'm glad to hear it isn't in the last 10 years. Stuart, thank you so much for this very important issue, and hey, just be careful out there on every side of this question, and use good judgment, I guess, is the bottom line.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, thank you very much for coming on. John Vardalos, he's still Greek after all these years. And he's coming up next, waiting for the last 4 hours. Kind of like Elvis in Caesar's Palace before the comeback in 69. He's been back there with his white jumpsuit. No. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do for your girl's bachelorette party? Trust me, we can take care of that for you. Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to MadisonComedy.com. You can purchase your ticket right from the website. You don't even have to talk to anybody over the phone if you're a weird person. Let's be honest, you're probably a weirdo. You're listening to Mitch.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State, madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience, working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
John Vardalos, the AmericanBoomer.com, the ultimate boomer out there. Born between 1945 and 65, right?
Yes,
John?
Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
I'm a 48er, if you want the truth. I was 48er. Born in 48. I'm a 48er.
Truman.
In 48.
Boy, I know a lot of guys are 48ers.
Yeah.
I mean, and gals. I mean, boomers are everywhere.
Mitch, 60's a new 40.
60.
We're reinventing it all.
You're north of 60, so.
I'm north of 60, but south of your heart.
South of 70. So, but can we say what age? Because you don't look your age.
I'm 68. I'm 68 and happy.
But 68 is the new 48.
It is the new 48.
You've
got
the energy of a 38.
The baby boomers are reinventing the aging process, Mitch, no matter how you cut it. We're going into our old age kicking and screaming, unlike our parents.
Is that because you went to all the right concerts in 1967?
We went to all the right concerts. We did all the right things. And
We did Jimi Hendrix in 68.
You did Jimi Hendrix. You know what it's like, Woodstock.
Bob was on the ship. Weren't you on the ship in 68 or no?
Yeah, but actually, I was in Hawaii on shore leave for a few days, and Jimi Hendrix was doing a concert
in Hawaii.
An outdoor theater there by Diamond Head. And I didn't have tickets for the concert, but I had an overnight. I was off the ship for the night, and I slept in the grass. First of all, I laid in the grass outside of the concert, heard the whole concert,
then
passed out.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the top five guitar players in the world is Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, I'm sure.
Jimi Hendrix, amazing.
Wow. Jimi Hendrix and Roy Clark.
But see, Mitch, we remember all of that music. That stays with us all our lives.
That's what fuels the boomers.
It fuels us. Memories fuel. Retro fuels us.
But you're fueled by the fact that you're Greek, which we've talked about this.
Yes.
There are 10 million Greeks, right?
And I had the opportunity to go to my homeland this summer on a cruise. I went to the Greek islands. I went to seven countries this summer on a river cruise and a Met cruise.
How is your Greek?
My Greek is good. Tithes na supo, I manamu mamatha. See, my grandmother raised me while I was a kid. I never forgot it.
You're fluent.
So I'm fluent in Greek, in the language.
Whoa, how about that?
Which really kind of helped being in Greece.
I didn't know you were fluent.
For a week. Yeah, yeah. My grandmother, I spoke Greek before I spoke English in grammar school in Chicago.
How do you say, hey, Mitch, you could miss a meal once in a while,
Tikangis, Mitch, na mi fas poli. Mi fas poli, Mitch. Poli means too much.
Mi fas poli.
Mi fas poli.
Oh, mercy. Give me some baklava.
Oh, we love baklava.
Gyros.
Oh, God. You know the gyros in Greece, Mitch?
You don't fry Coke.
I'm going to give you a little fact. The gyros in Greece is chicken and pork, not braised beef and lamb like here in the U.S. Yeah. And they put French fries in the pita bread. So it's chicken, pork, and French fries.
The fries are not good.
Sauce.
The Mediterranean diet would not include
fries. It was a great diet. It was a great time. I got to tell you, the people in Greece, the country has no money, but people are happy.
The rest of
Europe, it's on alert, everything, but people still live good. They're living for today.
They're happy. We drink all the wine we have. Well, that's why they're only 10 million Greeks. The Germans go upstairs. I mean, that's what I've said for years. You're out there telling stories.
Tourism is booming. They had a boomer year tourism-wise in Greece. And then the rest of Europe also had a great year. And, you know, despite all of the terror warnings and things like that, people are still traveling, contrary to popular belief, and people are still trying to enjoy life.
Well, that's wonderful to know. You go on cruises, you motivate corporate people.
I went to Pennsylvania recently.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania, are they happy in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Beautiful stop in Pennsylvania. And you've got the Alzheimer's event coming up?
I have a big Alzheimer's event, which is really near and dear to my heart. By the way, Alzheimer's will be the baby boomer disease going forward, Mitch. Right now in Wisconsin, we have 115,000 people with Alzheimer's. No known cure for the disease. Only major disease, no known cure. We have 193,000 caregivers in the state. Yeah. Predictions by 2040, there'll be millions more people coming down with Alzheimer's. So it will be the disease that boomers will all be caregivers at one point in our lives.
That's a frightening thought.
So this Sunday is our walk, our annual walk at Memorial High School, 10 o'clock. Come on out, walk, support all the services at the Southwest Wisconsin, the South Central Wisconsin chapter of the Alzheimer's Association, which I'm a board member. Has been promoting and doing very well the last few years.
Well, good for you. And the teams can still come out.
Teams can still come out. You can come out in an individual. You can bring a team out there. Registration's at 8 o'clock. The walk is at 10 o'clock. It should finish by about noontime. A lot of special guests out there, and really a helpful cause.
Well, Senator Proxmire, he was a guy who ran, jogged. He was amazing, and he got it, you know, which no one can understand how that would happen.
Correct. You never know how it's going to happen, but it can happen. And it's just something that, you know, there's a lot of lifestyle, like your previous guest was talking about, lifestyle issues. That's part of it, trying to live a healthy lifestyle. But motion is lotion, Mitch. Keep moving.
Keep moving
as you get older.
Don't just move to the buffet table and find a seat.
Just keep moving.
At
motion
least if you're
is
a buffet
lotion.
Table, go to a seat a long way away. At least try that. But no, it's, you know.
Keep the mind moving, keep the body moving.
You've done that. As you get older, you start to worry about this kind of stuff.
You do. But I mean, once you develop a good lifestyle or a habit of things, and everything's a habit, we know this, we're habitual.
Yeah, right.
Develop a good lifestyle for your mind and your body.
You grew up, I guess you had television, but the early days when you
the
were
early
a child.
The early days of the 50s, yeah.
Well, you know, people had conversations at the table and they ate together and you talked. We now have, you know, the millennials, I mean, they got their phones and they're not talking.
Exactly. I got to tell you, Mitch, I was on vacation for 2.5 weeks in Europe. No Facebook, no iPhone, no nothing. And it was amazing.
Really?
My blood pressure relaxed. Until I came back to the U.S., all the kabuki started again.
Ooh.
With worrying about politics and everything else. I'm telling you, try it for a while and cut back on the technology a little bit.
Did they hit you with politics?
All the time.
They knew you're
all
American.
All the time.
How did you go through without telling them?
I don't
them?
Go through it. No, I try to be an independent.
Aloof.
And I try to be aloof from the whole thing.
You start talking. You're speaking English.
So. I start talking English. It's a yin and the yang, you know. People have their left, people have their right.
You're fluent, so you can just stay in the native tongue.
Well, I stayed in the native tongue, and they thought I was Greek. I was one of compadre. I kind of neutralized everything that way.
And
it was the best thing.
And I've said this before, but if you saw The Godfather, you look like the guy that died in the bathtub when he cut his
Panagia.
It was a horrible thing, but you look like that.
Now that you brought this up, I went to Sicily off a cruise ship for one day. I went to the village of Corleone where they filmed the two Godfather movies.
Yes.
Oh, really? Cool,
man. It was unbelievable going to Corleone and seeing the spots where they filmed everything.
Those are my people.
And everybody was going like this to me.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was doing this. Buonasera.
You know why I have no zits? Because they slid off.
It's like buonasera.
It's a little joke. Definition of
wonderful people, the Italian people. I mean, they were great.
Definition of
they were great.
Sicilian foreplay. You've heard that. Anyway, sorry.
Oh God, it was great. It was great.
Well, you know, we are though in a hurry. In our culture, our families, we don't take time and smell the roses, and they do that in Sicily. They do that. I had friends from Sicily whose parents had moved here and then moved back there. And said, you know, parents will just walk around the neighborhood, just go into somebody else's house, and they'll visit, and they go to the next house. We don't even know our neighbors.
They
we don't know our neighbors.
I know. They take time to socialize. Look at this mass killer. Nobody knew the mass killer.
Yeah.
The guy lived in a retirement community. My goodness. And yet nobody knew their neighbor.
It's disturbing on so many fronts.
It's very disturbing. But at least in Europe, where you go, people socialize. One of the key blue zones of the world where people live the longest, one of the key things of longevity, socialization. Socialization, very important.
I remember one time, and of course my kids were small, and I was in the news and working hard and just flying in and out and with the kids and all. And there was two or three buildings down, the moving truck. And one day I'm out with the kids, and it was a day where we had some time to just kind of relax, and I said, hey, you moving in? And they said, no, we're moving out. And I said, well, how long have you been there? And they said, a year. And I felt terrible.
Well, people think that their iPhone now is their social platform. People think your technology is your social platform where you don't need human beings. I'm hearing this more and more from people. I really don't need friends because I have social media. Seriously, how we've converted and morphed from human interaction to technology interaction.
Yeah, that's true. There are degrees of that.
I mean, my goodness.
If you're just eating pizza and watching Columbo, that's a bad sign.
It is.
That's when you should call a therapist because
technology is a tool. It should be used as a tool. It shouldn't overwhelm our lives.
It shouldn't replace human interaction.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, but boomers do that. Of course, I'm told that boomers are the fastest growing Facebook generation.
We are because we discovered it. And you know how we discovered it and why we're into that now? Because we can connect with our grandkids, our children. And plus, genealogy is huge now on social media.
Looking up
your genealogy, I had my DNA tested. I got swabbed. Oh. I'm Greek and Italian in Caucasus, and I've got a little bit of Genghis Khan in my blood.
Genghis Khan. Who knew?
I did the swab thing on Ancestry.
John Verdell's Genghis Khan. By the way, you are of a generation where they're socially conscious. I mean, you had the war, you had civil rights, you had
everything,
generation gap.
Yes.
You were breaking from your parents, although you respect your parents' generation with World War II, but there was that communication gap, right?
Exactly. And, Mitch, the key thing, every generation reflects its peer group. And that's the thing that we don't connect with. Our kids, my kids are millennials. My daughter, she's a 30-year-old millennial. She's got her peer group. It's tough to connect generations.
Yeah.
It's hard to connect generations. That's why we call them Gen Y. Why are they always doing that?
Well,
why do you live this
way?
It's
hard because your daughter's 30 and my kids are 23 and 25. And they were always, my daughter moved out about 2 months ago. That's it. You know, I the whole time. And suddenly they're not there. So it's tough, you know, knowing how to text or, you know, you're texting too much, you're bothering them, you know, you just don't want
to. They want to establish their own world and they're in their old, it's like when we left home after high school, we developed our own identity.
Well, I know. And
if you came back home, that was a sign of weakness. You never wanted to move back home.
Well, that's right, but I don't want to do that. I just want to be part of their life.
Close with them.
Know?
Well, I'll go one even further. My daughter said a few months ago, Dad, I'm sorry, I won't be calling you as much anymore because it's too difficult because I have two children I'm raising. I'm going to be texting you more. So making a phone call is more difficult than texting.
Well,
so here you go.
I've already given in to the fact that you have to
text. Given in. I've caved to that.
I said, next
time you need money, let me see if I can text you some money then.
By the way, daughter.
I don't even talk to my wife. I just text her, you know.
Yeah. And you're,
try to text.
You're in the same room.
It's like.
You know, my daughter will answer the phone, though. Daughters do that more than sons, I'm here to tell you. My son, you know, he's like, oh, my God, it's my dad. He'll call. You know, if I finally get him at like 10 o'clock at night, he'll say, hi, Dad, how's it going? You know, hi, Dad, what's up? What's up? What's up is Latin for why are you bothering me? Okay, no,
well,
I
in deference to them and our kids, they're in their own world. They're trying to establish their identities.
I know.
The same thing. We went through the same thing. My parents were saying, why aren't you calling? Why don't you come by and visit? I heard that mantra.
I heard that mantra.
So now I'm hearing it back. The key thing, each generation reflects its peer group. And we will never be stronger than the peer group.
I was always a weird member of my generation. That was the problem. I was relating more to yours, you know. Even your parents.
Stuff.
I was you
were into Sinatra. The Sinatra.
That's
stuff.
Your parents.
Yeah.
Come back. This is the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Let our family help your family.
This is Pete Gunderson. Pre-planning a life celebration doesn't necessarily mean prepaying. At Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, we offer a variety of affordable options that you can pre-arrange for free. It's pre-planning without the worry of prepaying. Learn more at GundersonFH.com, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. Mitch Hank for Atterbury Cameron Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. Eric, is it true you've never taken a check from a client in 20 years?
We only get paid if we win, and 20 years of practicing law, I've never had a client to have to pay me for their time.
You don't take every case, quality over quantity?
Some of the bigger firms that do a lot of advertising are trying to take in as many cases as they can, as fast as they can. We actually reject more cases than we accept. We're trying to take a case where we can give it the time it deserves to be properly managed and litigated to get it ready for trial. Once you get beyond that number, the quality can suffer. So we're looking to provide high-quality legal service, and it's not about the numbers. We want to do those cases that we do have right.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
John Vardalos, our guest, AmericanBoomer.com, the website, The American Boomer?
TheAmericanBoomer.com. Yeah. All kinds of resources for baby boomers to live good lifestyles.
We are in an era where families, couples, friends don't talk about politics. It's become very polarizing, much like the late 60s, early 70s, don't you think?
I think so. I think so. But it's more so this day and age because people have taken sides. And we're bombarded every moment of the day by messages.
24-7
media. 24-7
media
bombardment. Yeah. Bombardment.
I mean, sure, they had those fights on All in the Family between Archie Bunker and the son-in-law. But that was kind of a rare thing. I mean, families could talk most in those days.
Now we've internalized everything where we've made it personal. I mean, we have literally made it personal.
Yeah, we have, and it's become the point we can't talk to each other.
I think you got to look at it as situational, not personal. One way I've learned to cope with life, Mitch, is look at everything as situational, not take it personal. Because when you begin to take it personal, that digs into your psyche.
Well, is it not smart to you see the person coming at you from either side of the political coin, and you know, I mean, to engage them is like a no-win
proposition, absolutely.
Right? But then you're just retreating, but maybe it's not worth with that person.
Well, with that particular person, if it goes too far, you can say, I respect your belief, you're a friend of mine, et cetera. However, I think differently, I would expect you to respect my belief and leave it at that.
Good luck with that.
Leave it at that. But you're right, it is polarizing, and some people just don't want to engage. And I've lost friends on Facebook. I've lost friends that I thought were friends because of this. But it's like, well, they weren't really a true friend because a true friend would not allow politics to cut into a friendship.
I had somebody recently, they sent me 20 emails a day, political type. And I just said, you stop emailing me about this, please. Just I've had enough.
Yeah.
I've had enough.
Yeah.
You know, talk to me about your kids or your, you know,
shift the discussion to more commonality. What do you have in common with people? What do you both have in common? Shift the discussion to more commonality versus things that
it kind of reminds me of Dustin Hoffman and The Graduate when he told Mrs. Robinson, why don't we have a conversation?
Exactly.
And she said, what are we going to talk about? He said, I don't know. How about art?
Go back to attracted you to that person. Your commonality. Always shoot for commonality.
Commonality. Right?
Go to the Badgers pack
that always
or something.
Leads me back to the buffet.
Whatever.
No, that was a joke. See,
food is a unifying factor too.
It can be. No, and it's a joke. And I don't mean to, because you know who doesn't like to hear those? Women don't like to. You're putting yourself down. Don't do that. People don't like to when you put yourself down. In my case, it's self-deprecating at times.
A little bit of self bottom line, Mitch, you got to be your own best friend.
Well, you know, that's...
You know, you just have to be your own best friend and keep moving forward.
Well, we had this horrible thing happen in Las Vegas, and people are now...
Shocking.
Don't you think people, they want to know why things happen, and they want to process it. And they want the person who did it, if they are alive, to show remorse. You know, we won't want these things. And sometimes we can't get what we want.
And
you think, well, how do we deal with it? Some things you just can't deal
Because rational people have one train of thought and irrational have another train
because
of thought.
Because we're rational or
you
we
cannot,
think we are.
There's the rational and the irrational. There's the good and the evil. And never the twain shall cross. It's very hard to cross it all and understand it. It's very hard to do.
You know,
that.
You see it with crazy sports coaches when they're really mad. Because I saw it growing up with Bobby Knight, and you saw it with Woody Hayes. And, you know, they get so mad, they just remember when Woody would grab the third down marker or the yard marker and throw it on the field. I mean, that's a guy who's lost control.
You lost control because you're dealing with emotion. You're letting your emotions get away with you.
And Bobby threw the chair, and he threw a fan in the trash can. I mean, that is where you're not rational.
Well, I think that's where you got to draw the line, and you got.
My marriage was never a rational thing.
Well, it's learning self control as best you can, and knowing when to cap it. Cap it if it's a no win situation. I went to the Packer game last Thursday night. I had five people from Canada, domestic squabble, arguing during the Packer game.
Really?
In front of me, domestic squabble,
husband,
wife, brother, brother-in-law, fighting at the Packer game.
In
and
the
I
stands.
Said, excuse
in
me,
the stands.
Excuse me, we should have stopped you at the border. If you're coming to a Packer game to argue, you can take it outside, or we can call the ushers and security and have you taken out. And guess what happened? They were taken out after the rain delay. Can you imagine people coming to a Packer game and having a domestic squabble?
Canucks
and
heat.
Whew.
You took me to a Packer game, and it was very nice of you. But I'll tell you, if you're kind of physically challenged, which I've been since the stroke, you need a railing.
You
there's
do
no
need a
railing at Lambeau Field. You run 60 rows and there's no railing. Every
Mitch,
step
the
is...
steps to the Packer game are higher than the steps to the Great Wall of China.
Yeah, that's scary.
And going up the stairs to your seat in
in
Lambeau Field.
I would hop with both feet. They would grab my hand. It was like Lewis and Clark boarding through the Colorado River.
It's easier walking up the Great Pyramid of Egypt than going to your...
I was looking
in Lambeau Field.
I needed Sacagawea to help me get up there. And then
we're
trying to leave.
Oh.
You got to walk halfway across the thing to go down the steps. And you're going through all the people.
You must be careful. It's crazy.
You know, the Kohl Center, they have these stairs here and there. You know, you don't have to walk very far.
At least you have stairs or elevated. But
Lambeau, you got to walk halfway across to get to some stairs.
You need special assistance being a normal person to get up there.
I thought it would be safer on the field than in the stands or in the hall, is what I thought.
Yeah.
But I know I had a great time, but... It's not, you know, it's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody. It's not an easy trek, man. You have to really be in shape to do all that stuff, too. And it's just, you know, it's just a, quote, a normal football game, right?
You know, it's sad.
Not.
I show friends the picture of my son who's modeling underwear now on the side. And they look at him and say, are you sure you're the bio dad?
Oh, come on.
And somebody said, don't take the test.
Come on.
We'll come back. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary.
You're listening to The Mitch Hanks Show. Once again, here's the voice of uncommon sense, Mitch Hanks.
John Vidalis, we thank you. We needed some levity. It's been kind of a heavy time.
Mitch, thank you so much. I appreciate you allowing me to come and also promote the Walk for Alzheimer's. Anybody interested in the walk can go to alz.org/walk and connect and more information. But Sunday, 10 o'clock, Memorial High School, the Walk for Alzheimer's. Great cause.
alz.org. You know, I'd be there, but I've golfed 6 times all year, which is the least amount in my life. And I agreed to play in this event Sunday as the final event of the year as a goodwill gesture. I'll be holding a bake sale to raise the money for the... No, I'm kidding, for the green fees. No, but, you know...
It's a great walk. Memorial High School is a great venue. So everybody
you.
Come out and walk.
I'll think of you when I'm walking.
It's a great cause. ALZ.org.
Walk with John.
Come out and walk with us.
In my case, just watch out for the golf ball because it'll head in your direction. But, you know, we see the... The generations, you're the boomer. You see fans of the football games not necessarily getting the message being sent by some players. And it reminded me of the Ken Burns thing on Vietnam. You remember Vietnam very well?
Yep.
Where nobody really knew why we were,
who
was there in charge. They just knew we were fighting the commies.
That's it.
So the public, they're not going to process a lot of
That's details. All the mantra there was. We're
right?
fighting commies.
It was John Wayne against Jane Fonda, right?
And they didn't really know.
And so the anthem against the non-anthem.
Exactly.
You want people to understand the deeper issues, but it doesn't happen.
People are not informed. They need to become more informed. Well, I think we as a society need to be more informed.
At least know something over the
what you're standing
saying
for.
And why the feelings are what they are.
Yeah.
And that's what we don't do. And you're a guy who talks and listens because you're Greek. And
well, I like to know what I'm standing for. I like to get the facts and be an informed citizen.
Although I still, and you've told me why, there just aren't very many Greek pro golfers. Have you noticed this?
No.
I
mean,
And you were saying there's going to be
Greekstone Golf.
Jack Papanicolaou.
Greekstone Golf, man.
I don't see Greek golfers.
Greekstone Golf.
All these golfers, I saw them last week. Guys from India. There were guys from New Zealand and Japan.
It's hard to build a golf course in Greece.
I didn't find any Greek golfers.
The goats and olive trees need to flourish. It's hard to build golf courses in Greece.
Are there golf courses in Greece?
There might be one.
Oh, my goodness.
But Greek people don't golf in general.
Well, it takes too much time.
It takes a lot of time. And we got other things to do with our time. Trust me.
You're on the patio or in the water drinking ouzo.
There's ouzo and vino and dancing and
telling stories.
Telling stories, socializing.
We want to thank Bob Keller, the Keller Real Estate Group, for the space here on West Washington Avenue. Check out the properties, Washington Court, Tuscan Place, Whitcomb Square on the west side for seniors. All these places, go to kellerapartments.com. That's kellerapartments.com. We thank Bob Abella. Back in the saddle again, studio engineer. His show, The Wide World of Radio, about 30s and 40s radio, the greats of yesteryear, coming up after this show, right, Bob?
Coming up.
Benny, George Burns, and Sinatra, and Al Jolson, all that stuff. We will see you again, and we're working on our whole gig here. We'll tell you more about it, but until you hear otherwise, we'll see you next week with a wider screen. Mitch Hank for MadisonTalks.com.